Hello, and welcome to Freshwater. You're listening to a message from our pastor, Dr. Jeff Gibbon, given in one of our weekly services. You can check out our website, www.freshwaterchurch.net, for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Wow, can you imagine that? So, this is a true story. In the 30s, Edward VIII, king of England, not just England, though, but the British Empire, which was kind of at its height about that time. And so, can you imagine, you know, a king giving up his throne for his bride? What an amazing concept all right there. That couple certainly had plenty of baggage. Mrs. Simpson had her baggage, and quite a bit, part of the controversy of it all. And so we see that before the marriage, and then after the marriage, we find that King Edward had plenty of his own baggage. In fact, if he had remained king, the balance of power in Europe during World War II might have been really different and very interesting. But all of this to come back to say that here he is on the throne of the British Empire and gives it all up. The woman he loves. And that is amazing. Now, I heard a story a while back, elderly couple, Henry and Mildred, and Henry leaned over to Mildred and said, "You know, Mildred, I would die for you." And Mildred returned, "Oh, Henry, you say that all the time, but you never do." So, you know, we're looking at marriage today, and we're in this series called Fresh Start, and we're looking at how God can bring a fabulous fresh start to every aspect of our life. And we've looked at a Fresh Start church, and we've looked at Fresh Start prayer, and today we're going to look at Fresh Start marriage, but we're going to focus in on Fresh Start marriage for husbands. Next week, we'll look at Fresh Start Marriage for Wives. I think it will be interesting. It will be good. Throughout this series, we're looking at two elements that work best together. First, the wisdom of the Word. And secondly, the power of God. And kind of our series text here is Exodus 6:1. And it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you will see what I will do.'" And an amazing turn of events happened in that course there. So today, Fresh Start Marriage for Husbands. Now, I've had the great privilege of helping a lot of different couples throughout the course of ministry. And in a counseling time, there's always a first phase. And I call that first phase referee phase. Because what inevitably happens, and you know, I've learned to just let it happen. What inevitably happens is first... One of the two, starts out and she gives her best case of why he's wrong and wants me to look at him and say, "You're wrong." And then wants me to referee. And then he'll chime in and give his best case at why she's wrong and wants me to say, "You're wrong." And I just resist doing that. And the reason being is that I have not figured out how to make a better spouse. And by the way, if you figure that out, come talk to me. We'll put together a book and we'll make a gazillion dollars. But what Scripture does talk about is how to be a better spouse. And that is important. And so that referee phase, I just let it happen. But then we come to the part of, I don't know how to fix your spouse. But I do know through Scripture we can look at how to become a better spouse. And so that's what we're going to do today. That's what we're going to look at this week and next week. We're going to look at how to be a better spouse. Next week for wives, and we're starting today in Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to start at verse 21. And Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 21. "Submit one another out of reverence for Christ." I'm going to read that verse again. "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Now, your Bibles, I'm going to just pause right there in the middle of this. Your Bibles may do something kind of weird right here. That might be what looks like the end of the last section, right? Some of your Bibles put it, no, it's the beginning of the next section. And by the way, in the original Greek that this was originally written in, there's no headings. So your Bible puts in headings just to help you see the breaks. But that's your Bible's help on the scripture. That part is not scripture, the headings. And then secondly, paragraphs is really an English thing. In Koine Greek, the type of Greek that the New Testament was written in, no paragraphs. Just run it all together. In fact, just to really mess with your head, originally, no punctuation. You just run it all together. And makes it real interesting, doesn't it? But some of your translations leave this verse hanging all by itself, not really part of the last section, not really part of this next section. And some of your Bibles put this as a header to this next section. I wholeheartedly agree with the latter, that it is a header of the next section. I think contextually it makes sense, theologically it makes sense, and what's happening in this text, it makes sense. It is the header. And so Paul begins this thing about saying, we submit to one another because we're Christians. Out of reverence for Christ, we submit to one another. And then, verse 22, which we're not going to read, it says, wives, this is how you apply that in your marriage. And how we're going to focus on verse 25 today. Husbands, how do you submit in your context, in your situation? Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. So here we have a whole bunch of great stuff. And I want to begin this by talking about the missing part of a man's heart. And that's really what Paul's bringing out here. The missing part of a man's heart is sacrificial love. It's something that does not come naturally to a guy. It's something that we have to think about. And there's a reason why Paul brings this up right here and says, guys, the way you submit to your wife in your context, the way you love your wife is sacrificially, like Christ. Husbands, that is how you apply this. Now, by the way, submit in this context does not mean subservient. And unfortunately, that's how we read this word, submit. We automatically switch it and we make it subservient. It's not subservient, but it's really to support her in the most Christ-like way, honoring Christ-like. Paul brings this up because, guys, it's hard for us to do this. If you bring up other ways that guys are just good in relationship, there are other ways that make sense to us. But sacrificial love, most guys struggle with it. Scripture does not need and never, ever does tell a wife to sacrifice for her husband. You know why? She's a natural, right? She knows how to do that. Ladies get that part, but guys, there's a missing part, and we have to concentrate. We have to think about it. We have to plan it. And that's why it's in Scripture. This is how you do this. Our first example is Jesus. Jesus is our example. He had sacrificial love, that which we celebrated this morning in communion. Sacrificial love for his bride, the church. He gave himself for her, for us. And that sacrificial love is our example. We look to Christ in how to be a husband. His method, as it talks about, is to wash with the word. And so it is a holy love, and it is eternal love. The words of Scripture remain forever. And so his means of sacrifice, is the way he does this, is by washing by the word. And the result is, and this is important too, the result is that he gets a blameless bride. He gets a blameless bride. By loving us sacrificially, he gets a blameless bride. And by the way, husbands, that works in our context as well. That when we sacrificially love our wives, we get a better bride. We meet a need that she has, and it's a better, she's a better bride. The next example connected to it is, how do we do this? Well, we look to our own bodies. Now, to be honest, men and taking care of their bodies, like, you know, showers. Yeah, you know, we'll go on a hunting trip, showers, right? There's that's not so necessarily part of it, right? And exercise, yeah, maybe, I don't know. But, you know, one thing that we do know how to do, we do know how to feed our bodies, right? I mean, guys can get pretty passionate about dinner, right? Especially if there's grill and barbecue sauce involved, in my opinion. We know how to care for our bodies. And sometimes we may not go to the doctor, but we know how to feed our bodies. So, feed your wife. She's starving for sacrificial love. That's the message here. That together we're one, and to feed her need. So, women are hardwired for a deep need of sacrificial love. Something I think every woman is born with. A need for that sacrificial love. That's why we watched the story of King Edward, and even though there might have been a whole lot of baggage there, that is a romantic story. To have the throne and to give it up for his love. Wow. No man can meet that inborn need except Jesus. No man can. There's no way that any man can meet that need for sacrificial love. That is her pointer to point to Jesus. But we get the privilege to meet the need the best we can. So what's that look like? How does that look in everyday, every week sort of stuff? Well, ultimately, it kind of, you know, in my thinking, it all wraps up to protection. That sacrificial love is protecting her. And protecting her in a lot of different ways. We protect her physically, of course, you know. You know, we'll protect her physically, you know, just like Henry will die for his wife. We'll protect her physically, but more than that, we'll protect her financially, right? We'll protect her emotionally. We'll protect her spiritually. And that, in a sacrificial way, to put that need and that protection first, that is something that's hardwired into her. And we need to pay attention to that. How are you protecting your wife? How are you not? How does she not feel safe? Some good questions. How are you sacrificing for her? Are you sacrificing time? Is your schedule, you know, packed out? The football widow, the hunting widow, so to speak. Are you sacrificing your time to be with her? Are you sacrificing giving of yourself in gifts? Now, little insight into gifts. Gifts are not the thing to a woman. Gifts are the thought. And so the very best gift you can get is, honey, I saw this. I just thought of you. I thought about this and that. I thought, this reminds me of you. That's a great gift. Now, in a guy's head, it's like, okay, I bought a carnation one day, and I said that, you know, made me think of you and the beauty, and I gave it to you. And that carnation was a buck, and she was just excited for a day. So if I buy her a diamond, I'm going to be good for 3-4 years, right? Never have to do anything else, right? See, it's a math thing. It works out in a guy's head. It just does, you know. But as you're chuckling, you know that that's not how it works for a woman, because you just told her, I'm not going to think about you for 3 or 4 years. Gifts are thoughts. And so when you give a gift, you're giving, you're saying, I was thinking about you. That's what touches her heart. So how are you sacrificing for her? Another way to sacrifice is words and to just talk. Let her talk about her day and not fix it. She don't want fixing. She wants to share. Touch, and her kind of touch, and service. By the way, there, you know, there's an old saying: no man was ever killed while doing the dishes. There's no male murders while doing the dishes, and service. All of these work together by giving of ourselves. We honor and love them. Now, if you're ever, missing a couple of those points, what is a really great thing to do is just to consult Mr. Wonderful. I found Mr. Wonderful here at a gift shop. Michelle and I were at a gift shop, and I found him, and I just said, oh, I got to have Mr. Wonderful. Check out Lady looked at me funny when I bought Mr. Wonderful, but I just said, I have to have Mr. Wonderful. And so Mr. Wonderful is really good at this kind of stuff, and we're going to share a mic, Mr. Wonderful. So tell me, what do you say to your wonderful wife? You know, what are some of the things you tell her?
Oh, can't you understand another week?
Did you hear that? Maybe we need to... Here, we'll give him his own mic. So he said, aw, can't your mom stay another week? See, that's sacrificial, isn't it? Here's a... Oh, yay. The ball game isn't really that important. I'd rather spend time with you. Yeah, Miss Wonderful would say that. Mr. Wonderful says that sort of thing. Isn't that great? Yeah. See, Mr. Wonderful gets that. Did you hear? He's got words, he's got service, he's got touch, and he's got all these things. And as soon as I found Mr. Wonderful, I said, oh, I have to have Mr. Wonderful. So he helps me out every now and again when I'm forgetful of one or two of those, and think about how can I be the wonderful husband. So here we are, fresh start in marriage. And one of the things that we look at is we look at the wisdom of the Word. We also need to look at the power of God. See, God is in the fresh start business. And there's a lot of wisdom of the Word that we can apply in and make marriage better. But there's also our yearning for the Spirit of God in our marriage, for His power to be made manifest in our love for one another, husband and wife. God is in the fresh start business. Now, when I was a little kid, I had a little bit, 10 to 12. We lived at that time in a really small town, and I had a beautiful blue bike. It had, just beautiful fenders. It didn't have the one bar between the seat and the handlebars, but it had kind of two, and it was just super cool. Had this pinstripe action going on, and fenders and flames. It just, the reflectors were beautiful. I loved my bike, and I rode it everywhere. We had a little river running through our town. I'd ride my bike to the river with a fishing pole. I'd come back with a stringer of fish. And I never remember cleaning those fish. I wonder if what my mom did with all. I think I might have handed it to her. I don't know. She was like, thanks, son. and ride to the ballpark and ride to a friend's house and just ride around town. I rode my bike. And being a small town, I'd always kind of just set it down in the front yard and walk in the front door. And that's all that we ever did. And one day I came out and, where's my bike? And, Mom, you see my bike? Well, it's right where you left it, son. And I was like, I think I left it right out front. And she was, is it out front? No. It's probably not where you left it then, right? We've had this conversation with Mom before. And so I went, okay, did I ride it to the ballpark and then walk home? I think I would do that, but I'll go check. And so I went to the ballpark and I went over to a friend's house and I looked around and there's no bike. And I was like, I don't know where my bike is. And just then we heard that there was a series of missing bikes. So my dad called the police and said, oh, we had these series of bike thefts. And I went, okay, well, that's probably what happened here. And we put my bike on the list and what to search for. And one day, one evening, I remember it was kind of dark, a police car came up into our driveway and said, I think we got your bike. And could you come take a look? And came, took a look, and there's this red bike that's kind of ugly. And I went, no, that's not my bike. They go, oh, look carefully. It's been painted. And I looked at it, and sure enough, there's those two bars going from the steering wheel to the seat. And he said, yeah, that is my bike. And he said, who's your paper boy? Kind of cased the joint as he's delivering papers. And he and his brother came along, and they stole a bunch of bikes, and they took parts off so no one could recognize it. They painted it, and they were going to sell bikes. And that was kind of their racket. And but I pulled this bike out, and it just wasn't my bike. It was now red metallic, hand-painted by a couple of kids. And it was, the fenders were gone, the reflectors were gone. It's just kind of plain and ugh, and is it my bike? Well, that Christmas, my parents bought me a new bike. And that was fantastic. And one of the things in looking at our wonderful God is that He's in the fresh start business. He's in the renewal business. And He can give a brand new marriage. There's a lot of different aspects to that spiritually. The Spirit of God can renew your marriage through miraculous forgiveness. He can renew your marriage through a renewed and deep, deep love. And He can renew your relationship by true, deeper than ever relationship. The Spirit of God can also renew your husbanding. Husbanding. I want to make it a verb. It's not just a noun. How we husband. How we are a spouse. The Spirit of God can just come in and change us. And so we look to the Word, but we also look at God's power. And we invite Him into our marriage and ask Him for a fresh start. So, how do you bring this reverence of Christ into real life? Verse 21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We honor and worship Christ in our marriage. We bring reverence to Him in our marriage. And so how can we bring this to real life? By the way, there's some verses in your bulletin that are left over from last week. They have nothing to do with this week. If you're using your bulletin, oops. A few years ago, we moved into this house, and on one side there were three kids, and just the sweetest, most generous kids. They would come on over. Our boys were little, and they would come on over and go, we got some candy. You want some? And I'd be like, kind of kid does that? And they would, here, you want to play with our toys? They're going, and I just thought, wow, they're just generous kids. One day, I hear a noise, and I look out the window, and my garage door's going open, and they're going into my garage, and I, like, what's going on, guys? And they go, oh, well, we wanted to play with these toys. And I found out it kind of works both ways. Generosity works both ways with them. There's no boundaries. Mine is yours. Yours is also mine. That's kind of how it worked with them. So I had the you know, really no boundary generous kids on one side, but on the other side, we had Edith Foster, who just really blessed our life in a lot of ways. She became one of the best friends to our little boys. Our little boys on their birthday would go, oh, I want to invite Tommy and Jimmy. And Mrs. Foster was always on their birthday list. She was a great lady. She was about 96, and One day, you know, we're just moved there. I met her. She's a nice lady, really nice. And I'm mowing my lawn, and she had this 1977 Buick barge. It was as big as most houses. And I notice it's kind of moving, and she gets up out of the back seat. And I stopped and asked, "Are you okay?" And she goes, "Oh, no, I was just taking a nap." Sometimes I like to take a nap in the back seat of the car. And I thought, okay, I got the kids with no boundaries. The crazy lady over here. That's what I got. I got the crazy lady. Keep an eye out for the crazy lady. So I'm mowing the lawn. I'm looking over there. And I notice in the back of the 77 Buick that there is a man's fedora. And I think, huh, interesting. Maybe Edith's got a boyfriend. What's the deal with that? Well, I talk to Edith, and she tells me the story of Eddie. Oh, before we get to the story of Eddie, Edith changed, had her name legally changed from E-D-I-T-H to E-D-Y-T-H-E. A kindred spirit if ever you saw one. So she tells me the story of Eddie. And she says, you know, Eddie was part of the Flying Masons. Okay, this sounds interesting. Yeah, the four guys, they'd get in a plane and they would go to some remote place and they would use their bricklaying skills wherever they needed to go. And they were the Flying Masons. That was his job. And he built this house for me. And I go, I noticed there's a brick house. I noticed that this brick is amazingly beautiful brick. And she said, yeah, he got that special for me. It's actually a fireplace brick that he built the whole house out of. And she just told story after story of Eddie. And it was Eddie's fedora in the back seat of the 77 Buick. And every time she talked of Eddie, her eyes just sparkled. It was like, oh yeah, Eddie. And she just went on, Eddie and Edith. I looked in the phone book, it was Eddie and Edith. Her checks, Eddie and Edith. And I found out that he had died 20 years ago. And so Eddie's fedora challenged me every time I'm mowing the lawn. Because I'm mowing the lawn, and here in Arizona, we have, you know, lawns the size of postage stamps. It takes about, you know, half a minute, you're done. But, you know, you mow lawn for a long time in the Midwest, and you're looking at a fedora of Eddie, whose wife's eyes still sparkle when she mentions his name. He's sitting there challenging me. Take the Eddie challenge. Take the Eddie challenge that 20 years after you're dead, your eyes, her eyes, still sparkle for you. And I never met him by a long shot, but he challenged me. He challenged me every week to be that kind of husband. So how can we bring our reverence to Christ to real life? Well, first, take the Eddie challenge. Make your wife so smitten with you. 20 years later, whenever your name is mentioned, her eyes light up. And secondly, keep your focus on her. We were young family, little kids, and I come home and Shelly is close to tears. She's just trying to hold it together. I'm like, "What's wrong, sweetie?" And she was, "Well, I called the boys to dinner and they didn't acknowledge me." And I said, "What did you do?" And she was, "I just said, boys come to dinner." And I said, "That's not how you call boys to dinner." That's not how you do that. They're just focused, that's all. And they were watching a TV show after school type of thing, and I said, "This is how you call boys to dinner. Boys, dinner." "Oh, okay." And they came right along, and they didn't even you know, see her. There was a marvelous study done, a university study. Researchers took headphones. And in one ear, they put one audiobook. In the other ear, they put another audiobook. And they took to people, and they just randomly took people, and they gave them the headphones, and they said, "Listen to this." And it wasn't long that pretty consistently, women said, "Can't do it. It's driving me insane. Take it away." But the men, at first, they're like, and then they entirely tune out one story and focus on the other. We've sometimes experienced that, haven't we? Right? Entirely tuned out one, and they're totally focused on the other. And that tells you something about the nature of man. See, God needs in every family somebody who's globally aware. Somebody that knows can just there's something else going on here. And that there's somebody in the marriage that's just has lock focus. Just lock focus. Well, that can also create problems. But there is a purpose behind it. God needs both in a marriage, but there's sometimes a problem with that. The problem isn't necessarily that men are selfish rather than sacrificial. It can be that they're just focused. The problem is that we're focused elsewhere. You were focused on her when you were dating. Now, target acquired, move on, right? We moved our focus. And some women hear that and they go, selfish. Sometimes, guess what? It is. It's selfish. But a lot of times, no. It's just the way God is made. His focus is just dead centered on something. Keep her in your focus. In reverence for Jesus, keep your focus on her. That's what Jesus wants you to do. Make her priorities your priorities. Make her goals your goals. Make her needs your needs. Turn I into we. And just like you take care of your own body, take care of her. It all comes together. So, how do we wash with the Word? The first, we wash with the Word gently. Gently. It's a fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. Gently we wash with the Word. So, the Bible says to just like Christ washes with the Word the church, we're to wash our brides with the Word. And so how do we do that gently? Do you remember, maybe you use lava soap. Here, I found lava soap. We used to use lava soap all the time. Now, lava soap is made of real lava. They take pumice, they grind it up, it's got real lava, and then WD-40. Not kidding. There's WD-40 in lava soap, and it is just rough and mean and tough. No woman has ever used lava soap, at least not twice, right? And I found this 1940s ad. This is cool. I keep my hands clean. Why can't he? Lava soap. Give him some lava soap. And I found this modern ad. I like this. If we made soap on a rope, I don't know if you can see that. It's got barbed wire on it there. This is just tough stuff. You know, guys, sometimes we need lava soap. Use it for yourself. Wash with the Word. Gently. Be that fancy soap with the poof thing for her. Be bubble bath. Be her bubble bath in the Word. That's what she needs. Gentleness. Secondly, together. Wash in the Word together. Read the Word together. Pray together. Come to church together. Together, wash in the Word. Third, as we've been talking about, selflessly. Women can smell selfishness. That's why it happens a lot. The marriage that's been on the rocks for a long time, the guy will finally get it. Finally got into his focus that marriage is on the rocks, and he buys a dozen roses and gives it to her, and she goes, what's he up to? Right? Because she can smell the selfishness, right? There's something, she's suspicious of this guy at this point. And doesn't mean give up. That means you've got to show her that you're genuine with it. Selflessly, sacrificially, model godly manhood. And then finally, in holiness. Forgiven, not perfect, forgiven, and committed to the right path. That will change everything. Marriage is a spiritual act. So, all of this to come back to, give up your throne for her. Sacrificially love her. Some people renew their vows, and that's good. Jesus always wants to renew marriages. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word.
and for your Spirit. And Lord, as we look at your word together, we see this marvelous wisdom about marriage. And Lord, we pray today for renewed marriages, for deepening love for one another. And we pray, Lord, that you would be more and more in the center of our marriages. Lord, what a marvelous joy you have given us to love one person for a lifetime. We pray, Lord, that you, with your love, would flow through us in that beautiful act. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Freshwater Church meets in Gilbert, Arizona. Please check out our website for more information, freshwaterchurch.net. You may also email us at office@freshwaterchurch.net. If you have some tough questions about the Bible, God, or the church, feel free to email us at questions@freshwaterchurch.net. God bless, and we hope to see you soon.